I want to start by having you take your Bibles and look at Proverbs 4:23. We'll start with that scripture first. If you could put that up there for me. All right. Proverbs 4:23. I've taken this scripture out of the New King James, the New Living Translation, and the Amplified Version. And I made my own little scripture. Oh, by the way, thank you. Woo-hoo. Thank you, Lord. Now, you're not supposed to peek down the page, but I have some notes. Because I don't want you to have to copy everything down I'm going to say tonight. Okay? I do have notes, and I even have some blanks in there, so you can't figure out what I'm going to say. I'm being a really good teacher here, you know? But I want you to take a look at with me and kind of follow what I'm going to say here. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Okay. We all set? Just about? Hopefully, I don't think there are any left. We're all set? Good. Okay. You can read it up here. There it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for are the issues of life. Okay? So I took the three translations, and as you see on the top of this page, I kind of threw together three translations to expand it a little bit. So it's keep or guard your heart above all else, with all diligence and with all diligence. Okay? Now, you can almost divide this verse up into three sections. Second part is, for out of it flows, determines, for out of it springs. And the third part is, the issues of life, the course of life, and the spring of life. So, when you read this, Solomon is saying, above all else. That means it's pretty important when Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart. Why? Because he's saying the heart is the most important part of your being. When Lisa said, got to go deep, where's he going to go deep? He's going to go deep in your heart. Right? So he's saying this is the most important part of your heart. This is the most important part of your being. Now, in that translation, in what you see here, the word guard is the word shamar. Okay? Now, it means to guard, to keep, to tend, to watch over. It is exactly the same word that's used, as it says here in your notes, in Genesis 2:15, when God said to Adam, tend the garden. What that means is we are supposed to guard, keep, tend our lives, our homes, our family, and whatever responsibility God has for you. You are to shamar your life. Other words for the heart include center, core, nucleus, hub, focal point, or center part. Now, this is not what my message is going to be about. This is just kind of setting everything up. But I want to talk about five things about your heart. And they're right on your notes. You can follow me along with them. And I want to go through them and explain what they are and why I'm doing this. Number one, your heart is the basis, source, and center of your emotional life. The place where your deepest and sincerest feelings are located and where you are the most vulnerable to pain. Didn't the angel say to Mary, a sword will pierce where? Her heart. And I'm sure some of you can identify with that in one form or another. Now, what's interesting is, and I want to share a testimony here. When I was teaching at MCC for a couple years, I opened up a 403B. And there isn't really much money in there, but I'm now that I'm 70 and a half, I have to take it. So I have to start taking minimal withdrawals or distributions. So I went to the company, and who happens to be taking care of this for me is one of my favorite former students, probably about 4'11". She's married, divorced, and remarried. So I had to go get some papers signed and notarized, and I had to drop them off. And it happened to be about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I stopped into her office. She has a couple different offices around the area, but she happened to be in Webster, and I was driving from Ontario into Webster. So it was a perfect place, and I stopped, and we talked for a while. And we started to catch up a little bit on the last 20 years since I really haven't seen her. And she started, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she opens up. And she starts talking about her first divorce. And she tells me that when she married this man, she's pregnant with their child and finds out that he's having an affair with another woman. Then she talks about how she's been taken back to court 6 times by this man, doesn't like the way he's treated her son, or their son. And I said to her, have you forgiven him? We kind of skirted that issue. We didn't really want to answer that particular challenge that I threw out. And I was kind of, I mean, she's a dear friend, and when I left the office that morning, she said to me, please don't be a stranger. But I said some challenging things to her, because in her heart, she had a lot of pain. And the only way she's going to get free is if she realizes what it's going to take her to get free. Your heart is where you're most susceptible and vulnerable to pain. Second thing about your heart, point number two, your heart is the core of your character. It's where compassion comes from. It's the place from which humane and altruistic feelings emerge. It is your center of affection, warmth, love, and admiration for others come from your heart. Integrity is in your heart. Don't we say, I love you with all my heart? And what happens, or what does it mean, if you can't say that? What does that say? Number three, your heart is where your capacity for courage and determination arise from, and the place where you develop a heart for something. Number four, a heart is the most essential part of something. It's distinctive, significant, and the characteristic center, as in the expression, the heart of the matter. Just before Father's Day, my daughter Liz calls me up and says, I get something for Paul for Father's Day, and the lady that's making it is right around the corner from you. Can you go pick it up, pay for it, and I'll give you the money back? Fine, no problem. So I go over to this lady's house, and now Liz is the mother of Amanda, so for those of you who know the whole story. So I'm there, and she had done some stuff with Amanda before Amanda passed away. So we had a conversation. So we already kind of had a little bit of an inroad here. So I'm sitting there, and we're just talking at her front door. And I was there 20 minutes, and before I know it, all of a sudden, she just opens up. And she just starts laying her whole life out before me, you know? And she says to me, well, you know, we've been trying for couple years to get pregnant. And she runs her own business, and she's very busy, and she has no time for any rest and all this kind of stuff. And I said to her, I mean, I don't really know her very well, And I challenged her. And I challenged her in a number of different areas. What the Lord was telling me to do. You know, about things in her life and how to slow down and certain things. And I said, well, I can't guarantee any of these is going to make you pregnant. I said, but I can tell you, you're going to feel like a whole lot better if you do these things. And so the thing about it was, the Lord cut it right to the heart of the matter. We got right to the heart of where her heart was. I didn't expect that when I went over. I went up to pick over a chain and for jewelry, and the next thing I know, you know. So you never know. But number three. We do, let's see, where am I? We're doing five. Okay, number five. Your heart is linked with your core feelings, such as devotion, attitudes, and desires. When I take something to heart, it is serious. I take it seriously. Something has the capacity to touch me, to upset me, to affect my emotions, to motivate me. And when I do something with my whole heart, I do it completely and willingly. If I take it to heart, I become more encouraged and confident. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. I've laid out for you 5 points. And by the way, you'll note on the sheet there that I've taken this from Barbara Yoder's book, Taking Goliath, on page 136. That's just where that all came from. But the point being here that Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart diligently. Now, the thing about this is, if the enemy can capture your heart, he can shut down the life that flows out of you. And by capturing your heart, he controls you and he has you. Can we have the next scripture, please? It's 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2:19. For whatever overcomes a man, that he is also in bondage to. The New Living Translation says it this way. You are a slave to whatever controls you. If the devil gets a hold of your heart and he controls you, that's what you're a slave to. As I said at the beginning, this is really not the focus of my message tonight. I really am going to do a series. It's really funny because I never do series. I mean, all of a sudden last year I did the whole thing on crossing over, and all of a sudden the Lord's got me doing something else, which is really kind of interesting to me. And I feel like I'm supposed to embark on this. And I feel like the last week has kind of been a little small microcosm of what the Lord wanted me to teach on. You know, with all my distractions and all of this and all of that, I really had to kind of war to get this thing done for tonight. And it was as if God was saying to me in a minute way, live out what I want you to teach. So my topic tonight, as you see it across the top of the pages, I want to talk about the heart of a warrior. What is the heart of a warrior? Now, I'll allow Lisa Fess, I'll give you the definition of a warrior. It's a person engaged or experienced in warfare. Now, when you think about the term warrior, what do you think? What image do you conjure up in your mind? Do you see this man or woman covered from head to foot in armor that looks invincible? Do you see someone that's all scarred up, but someone who's really good at hand-to-hand combat? Do you think of perhaps our current military soldiers? Maybe there's a biblical image that you think about. I think when you start talking about this biblically, and I mentioned the word warrior, most people will probably pick David and Goliath. is probably the first thing they would think of when you think about biblical warrior. And probably rightly so. And the Bible is full of these warriors, and we're going to go through a couple, and I'm going to, as I develop this series over the next, hopefully, couple of times we share, go into greater depth about other people and explain other things about this. But I want to give you tonight three. The first one, who I consider, and I'm starting in the book of Genesis, is Abraham. Now, you might say, Abraham is a warrior? I said, yeah, Abraham is a warrior. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 14, Abraham rescues Lot and his goods with 318 trained servants in verse 14 against four kings and their armies. And who do you suppose trained his servants? I think it was Abraham. Abraham was a warrior. Let's talk about another Old Testament person, Joseph. Joseph is a warrior? Now, you might not think he is, but let's be real. Not all war is physical. Right. As I prepared for this message, Joseph really spoke to my heart. He warred for his life with his integrity and with his compassion, and his prize or his reward was authority and a throne. Joseph was a warrior. The last we'll leave with for tonight, there are many others, and we'll get to those in time, Joshua and Caleb. We meet them in the book of Exodus and Numbers. Joshua is the general type. He's the strategist. In the book of Joshua, when we meet him a little later, Caleb is the guy at 85 who wants the mountain with all the giants. And Joshua is the leader of the army. These certainly are warriors. Before leaving this part of my message, let me say something about probably the greatest warrior that there was, biblically. Jesus. Now, when I wrote that, you know, I knew that that was true, but when I read, I'm reading a Max Lucado devotional. And this is the devotional that I read. This is for today. Okay? Want to hear about the Lord's timing? The scripture is 1 Peter 1:5. You have faith in God, whose power will protect you until the last day. Then he will save you, just as he always planned to do. Now, here's the first paragraph of this devotional. When God became flesh, he fought for your soul. When Jesus faced the devil in the wilderness, he fought for your peace. When he stood up for the neglected, was he not standing up for you? When he died on the cross for your sins, he fought for your salvation. When he left the Holy Spirit to guide, strengthen, and comfort you, he was fighting for your life. I said, well, that's a pretty good confirmation. I'll take that since I read that this morning. Jesus, the greatest warrior there was. And as you're going to see, all warriors we will see and discuss have many common traits, such as courage, bravery, integrity, obedience, discipline, and the list goes on and on. But to make a little pun here, I really want to get to the heart of the matter. I really want to get to the deep things about the heart of a warrior. Yes, we could spend time talking about being obedient and all that, but there are deeper things to talk about. So, as I put on my paper here, what are the deep attitudes of the heart of a warrior? I've got three to start with tonight. Number one, a true warrior does not necessarily revel in the conflict, but rather in the goal of liberation. I'll repeat that again. A true warrior does not necessarily revel in the conflict, but rather in the goal of liberation. Let that sink in. Freedom, liberation. Isn't that really the purpose of war? War is not about blood and guts. War is not about another notch in my belt. War is not about control and power. War is about freedom and deliverance. Does our perspective on war need to change? Do we see that or do we not see that? When I discuss the 5 points that you have on your notes there, point number 3 says this: your heart is where your capacity for courage and determination arise, the place where you develop a heart for something. If you have a heart for war, you have a heart to free someone or some group of people from something. Every person I've mentioned, and you'll see in the scripture where they were fighting for freedom and deliverance in one way or another. When you pray and when you intercede, are you not entering into the battle? You are repairing the breach, changing a heart, all for the cause of freedom. You are a freedom fighter. You are a freedom fighter. You may not think you are, but if you are interceding for someone's freedom, you are a freedom fighter. And Scripture makes it clear that the devil is out to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. His weapons are shame, fear, violence, poverty, guilt, and so on. And we are warring to break that off of people, areas, groups, whatever. Which leads me to my second point on the sheet. A true warrior knows it's about others who are depending on them for their safety and protection. A true warrior knows it's always about others who are depending on them for their safety and protection. Now, the interesting thing about this, the other may not even realize or know that they're relying on somebody else for their freedom and quality of life. How many of us have prayed for friends and relatives and don't even realize that we're praying for them? And yet we are having an immense impact in their lives. Even in my first point when I was talking about a warrior knows it's for freedom, the warrior itself may actually be part of what needs to be free. He's fighting for some cause or something and he's involved in the freedom. But ultimately, it's also about the freedom of others. And even if we are warring for our own needs, our own battle, ultimately that will be for others because we will be able to share with them our triumph, our strategies, what we went through, and how the Lord delivered us. So even if the battle is about you and what you're going through, it's ultimately for somebody else. Right. It's not about you. Right. A warrior knows it's eventually about others. My third and final point tonight. A true warrior knows that to be successful in God's eyes, he must have humility. This is a whole sermon unto itself, but let me give you my take and let's look at King David. King David endured endless days and nights of boredom in his life as a shepherd. He tended the sheep, or he shepherded his father's flock, in heat, cold, and rain. He wasn't even at the dinner with Samuel. He did what he did without recognition. But that time alone was necessary, and he was a worshiper. And that worship led him to trust God. He was yielded to God. We have the next scripture, Proverbs 27:23. Well, again, know the state of your flocks and look well to your herds. New Living Translation says, know the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds. It's your heart. It's extending your heart, your submitted, yielded heart, to those who rely on you. Anyone in leadership knows how important that verse is. Anyone that has responsibility for other people knows that that's an important verse. You have to know the state of your sheep. I'll tell you a story about this. I wasn't going to do this, I didn't even know, but I'm going to do it. A year and a half ago, at our church on Thursday night, I had a message all prepared, and the way the night went, I could have given about half of it. We got involved in some other things, and I just felt at the end as though, no, I'm not really supposed to do that. And the Lord just clearly spoke. And there's about two or three, there's 27, if you read 27, 23, and 24. I read the whole thing out. It's about know the state of your flock and put your heart into caring for your herds and all this and all that, you know. And I have a woman who's a regular at our place. And all of a sudden, this woman just begins to bawl her eyes out. And I'm thinking, what just happened? And it was because the Lord was speaking to her about needing to go and take care of her mother. And this was an absolute confirmation to her, just by sharing this one verse. For some of you, you may really want to take this verse and just kind of think about it for a while. I'll just leave it there, because that's really all I can say about that. A true warrior doesn't look for recognition for themselves, but has the heart to see and meet the needs of others. Andrew Murray writes this: humility, the place of entire dependence on God, is from the very nature of things. Here, oh, yes, right, it's on the paper here, isn't it? Okay, so I'll go slower. Andrew Murray wrote, humility, the place of entire dependence on God, is from the very nature of things, the first duty and highest virtue of man, and is the root of every virtue. Pride is the loss of this humility and the root of every sin and evil. Jesus said, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and find rest for your souls. I don't know how many times last year when I was talking about crossing over about the importance of finding rest for your souls, but seems to be tied up with humility, doesn't it? No tree can grow. That's the last thing on the sheet here. No tree can grow except on the root from which it sprang. What does that mean? It means whatever is in the root is going to pop up. Whatever is in the root of your life is what will spring forth. As I close, I want to say a couple of closing comments here. We realize reality is not better homes and gardens. Okay? We will eventually come face to face with our own mountains and our own giants. So, my challenge to you tonight is to check your heart. Is to look at Proverbs 24:23. Read it over. Meditate on it. take a look at the 5 points that you have here about your heart. Look at the 3 points. And this is just the start. This is just my opening first part of the series. I want to finish with a vision that I had this week at a meeting that I had. And it was, and it kind of goes along with this thing, and I'll close and you can finish from there. I saw like a hawk or a bird of prey all of a sudden swoop down, grab its prey, and take off. Like it came out of nowhere and it left. And what the Lord was sharing with me when I saw that was, this was a sudden, out of nowhere attack. Rob, let's not please. Habakkuk 2:1 says, I will stand my watch and set me upon the tower. One of the things that a warrior has to do is to keep watch. If you are a freedom fighter, if you are a warrior, God has called you to be alert, to be at your post, and to watch.
Thank you, Rob. That vision is a picture of the predator that's trying to take what the Lord is releasing to the body now. All of the prophecies about the things the Lord is releasing, that vision of the hawk coming down and grabbing, is what happens when we don't guard what he's given us to guard, when we don't watch what he's given us to watch. Some of you know that Casey and I restaked our property on the 4th of July. We reclosed the gates to the predators so that we can have a place of holy habitation in the land. As Rob was speaking, I was singing an old, I think it's Hosanna worship song, Mighty Warrior, Dressed for Battle. Some of you also were probably hearing that. You are mighty warriors because Christ is in you. He has given you everything you need to defeat the enemies that are on your path. He did it all at the cross. And then Holy Spirit gave us armor, the full armor of God, so that we can stand against those spiritual enemies. But Holy Spirit gave us something even greater than the full armor. He gave us the fruit of his presence so that we can walk in that humility that Rob said is essential as a warrior. Lord, I thank you that you have not only equipped us, but you have clothed us in your presence, so that when we face our spiritual enemies, they see Christ in us and flee. And when we face the harvest, they see Christ in us and hunger for your presence. I ask, Lord, that as Rob prepares the next piece of this message, you will prepare our hearts to steward faithfully what you've given us to guard, that you will call us any hour, day or night, to our guard post, for us to keep watch over what you've entrusted to us, both things and people, so that your name is always glorified in all that we do. You are our mighty warrior. Lord, you lead us into the battle, and you lead us into rest for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. There are refreshments next door. I hear there's even wedding cake, for those of you who like wedding cake. Stay in fellowship. Have a very blessed week.